Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is proposing what he calls anti-mob legislation that would allow armed citizens to use force against anyone they see as engaged in criminal mischief against a business. This is part of a wave of legislation that criminalizes protesting during these times of social unrest. Nora Benavides has been tracking the bills in state houses around the country. She's director of U.S. Free Expression Programs at PEN America. Nora, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks so much, Peter.
And what do you make of this effort in Florida that would expand the Stand Your Ground law and at least would appear to make it possible to kill people who are looting or damaging a business?
Well, part of what I find troubling is that this is really an introduction that is against the backdrop of another proposal in Florida, in which the governor has basically tried to put together some grab bag of harsh measures that would penalize protesters. And so together, so much of what we're hearing about in Florida is an effort to crack down on legitimate speech and on protest rights.
Another provision in that law would make it a felony to block traffic, which of course happens a lot during protests. But what kind of constitutional or legal questions do you think it brings up?
Well, it brings up who is speaking. You know, so much of what we've seen when we look at these trends now of anti-protest bills around the country seem to provide carve-outs for accepted behavior or accepted protest. And much of this gives law enforcement discretion to pick and choose when to use a criminal provision. You know, when to find that someone who's crossing a street is actually obstructing traffic and when they are not. And that kind of discretion could potentially lead to some people having First Amendment rights and others in practice being denied their First Amendment rights.
Well, as you just hinted there, Florida is nowhere near the only state to be passing these kinds of laws or considering these kinds of laws. What else have you noticed in other places?
You know, over the last several years, PEN America has been researching what we think is this explosion of anti-protest bills around the country. And really, since 2017, we've seen an explosion of almost 120 proposals now that would do something to either increase penalties for people exercising their rights, such as marching on sidewalks or roadways, or it would actually just create new types of criminal charges, a lot of which is what we see in Florida. And we're really convinced that that trend is moving more and more to create what are acceptable ways of exercising your rights, and then what are unacceptable ways.
And what kind of penalties are protesters facing if they end up breaking these new laws?
Well, frankly, it varies by state. And not all of these proposals have become law. Almost 25% of bills that are introduced do become law. The penalties range from, you know, what would have been, let's say, a very low-level misdemeanor for marching near a pipeline construction, now is a felony. It could then also be met with upwards of 5 years in prison as a sentence or a charge of over $10,000.
Wow. So just going to a protest could really mess with somebody's life.
Absolutely. You know, if you're thinking about protesting and you know this bill is on the books now, you may actually not express yourself. You may prevent yourself from being part of our public discourse because you're worried about not being able to pay the fine or, you know, what would it mean for your professional career if you were arrested for what's actually a protected right.
And are you seeing prosecutions under these new laws?
You know, we're not yet. We've seen kind of some be introduced and not become law. And then we've seen some that we're waiting to monitor what happens when they are, in fact, used. Most recently, we've had concerns just watching what's happened this past summer. And with the George Floyd protests and sort of the solidarity around racial justice, you know, there have been thousands of arrests. And many of those arrests are for small, low-level misdemeanors, which these laws around the country that we've examined are duplicative of. So what it really appears to do is simply chill people's sense of what their rights are and really make people think twice about, you know, should I protest and put my body on the line at the risk of maybe being charged with a felony or as a domestic terrorist or, you know, can I even face a $20,000 fine?
Well, and I'm wondering if the laws are being applied equally. For example, does it apply in the same way with an armed militiaman at the Michigan State House protesting COVID restrictions as it would, say, with like an indigenous group protesting an oil pipeline in North Dakota?
Absolutely. It's a great question. I think the other, though, is what is the framework and interests of our legislators from the outset? Because what they have done is pretty exclusively introduced proposals targeting tactics used by Black Lives Matter and anyone who would protest pipeline constructions, as you mentioned. And those are the tactics used for progressive social change.
So what do you predict is ahead under the Biden administration?
Well, first of all, I am very hopeful that a Biden administration will help bring about a rhetoric that is grounded in the rule of law, and that our First Amendment and our free expression rights are protected ones that we adhere to. I still think that we need to be on guard against what state legislators may do all over the country. Just last week, there was a new anti-protest bill introduced in Ohio, which would, similar to what we've seen elsewhere, create very large and excessive charges for a variety of behaviors, you know, from rioting or looting, violence. And so I think that we're not going to see those types of bills go away. And we need people in states who are prepared to advocate on behalf of what our First Amendment rights are and why it's important to protest in the first place.
Nora Benavidez, Director of U.S. Free Expression Programs at PEN America. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Peter.